This afternoon we venture to take a different text, and I would like to direct you to Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 1. And I'm sorry, but I cannot find what I meant at first to preach from. We have it here, verse 16, that Epistle Romans chapter 1, the 16th verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We were trying to speak of this great salvation this morning, and I want to look this afternoon again as to see where we stand and how we at times may feel about some of these things. Now, we all know the writer of this, or a little about him. We know that he had a religion which was of the flesh. He had a religion which at first he was very proud of. He had a religion he could boast of. He had a religion which was so deep, apparently, in his heart that he could go about persecuting those of God's children. And one of those, as we know, was what we call the first martyr. And that is a great lesson to us, to show that in that awful stoning, in that awful scene with the heart of Saul of Tarsus not touched in any way at the moment. He had a religion which was so apparently real that he could afford to put others right in his own estimation, to the extent of imprisonment and death. And you've heard me perhaps speak in this wise other places or other times before. The hardness of the heart of the writer of this epistle to the Romans, to stand there and see a child of God having the face of an angel to be stoned to death. What we sometimes call the first martyr. Now, the writer of this is the same man, used by God for the very purpose of showing God's sovereignty, God's honor, God's glory, and God's power. Now, in relation to the text that he's written here, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, let's think. Where was he before? Did he profess the gospel of Christ when he persecuted those that are that way? Did he love the gospel of Christ? Now, you know the answer. He hated it, because it was that which was of Christ and of God. And it was that which was of salvation, and yet not of the law. As touching the law, he said he was blameless. Well, this is a great mystery, in one sense, until we realize the truth of it. The great mystery is this, and it concerns you and I. He did not realize the law was spiritual. He did not realize that God, like we were speaking of this morning, could see him inwardly. As touching the outward law, the law of Moses, blameless. Now what a state to be in, and be proud of it. Now it's the same writer of this text. Now, if we could have gone back to Saul, not Paul, the same man, and yet in one wise, no. If we could have gone to Saul and said, what about the gospel of Christ? And this is what I believe, you'd have said, and this is what I love. You could have very likely been cast in prison if you lived in those days, understand? Therefore, as we well know, there's got to be something done. And something done in this way, to pour down the stronghold of sin, because it was sin. Anything that is of one's own righteousness, so-called, is sin. Anything that is independent of God is sin. And this was sin in the greatest way. And this was a stronghold. Now, that had got to be pulled down. Now, couldn't Saul deal with this himself? Well, in the first place, he wouldn't want to. He was blind to it. He was blind. Now, this text is written by that same Saul, or same man, as I'm trying to describe in opening it up. He persecuted, prisoner, and even unto death. And he was there at the stoning of Stephen. And he was untouched with compassion, unfeeling. Now there's a lesson here, the stronghold of the devil over a child of God. We say, was he a child of God? Well, what do we preach? What do we believe in? Election, predestination. He was elected in eternity, and he was elected when he was going on like this. He was still elected when he hated that way of salvation. And if we could have reached him, as you might say, and spoken, and we'd have said, what about the gospel of Christ? He had no time for it. All you say, he believed in God. You see how far one can go in a religion, believing in God and not having the real truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the soul. In this, they miss the very center of salvation, the only begotten Son of God. Now, in leading up this text, you see that he had to be dealt with. Now that had to be brought down as much as he was brought down. That stronghold of Satan. He had to be, in one sense, smitten with the power of God. You say, well, we all know this historically, But do we know a little of what it is for ourselves to be brought to nothing? Now, again, as we were saying this morning, you see, everything was new when God began to deal with Saul. The same man, a different name. See? No wonder we might say he was given a new name. Saul, Paul. See? God changed his name, God changed his heart. God changed his ways. Now that's the truth of God as it is in God's word. And I believe it as sure as I stand here. But it's how it concerns us. Now, friends, we're talking about a certain chapel. I sat there when I was a youth. But there was a lot of watering down. See? And there was a lot of this. We don't live in such a day and age as then. And you don't expect these things to happen as they did then. And this was preached. Now, in all due respect, was that the truth? There was a preaching that would do away, water down the power. As much as I say, you can't expect to see that sort of thing. Not in the fullest extent, it may be. You don't expect to see such a display of power in the day in which we live. Why not? That's the point. It was watered down to such an extent that they would even say, well, it's foolishness to pray for it. You see? But things are still the same. We have the same God today that Saul and Paul had. And his power is the same. And this is what I come to. The change to make him righteous. Now with us. We've got to come down to ourselves. And to see whether we can come in with the text and in with the writer of it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And this is written without the slightest trace of presumption. And is the truth within his heart with the greatest of belief. And the greatest of sincerity. I am not, I put emphasis on that word, ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was before. Now what about us? Are we ashamed of it? You see what I'm coming to? Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? We have to search at our own heart, because it's not always easy in a world, as we might say, to be separated from the rest, so that one might say, there goes one of his who believes in Christ, there goes one who reads the Bible. And almost to be called, there goes some old fool. Yeah, you think of this. It's a strong language, but this is what it's there. It could very well be it goes on. There goes one of his followers. There goes one who believes in that so-called word of God, which we believe is nothing but fables. Now, how do you feel? This is a point. Well, Paul, he knew where he stood. Why? You say, well, I know where I stand. Why and how? That's the point. He knew because he witnessed the power. He knew because of this great power that come and brought him nothing. He knew of that revealing power of the Holy Spirit and God that had shown him something he'd entirely missed in religion. Because he was very religious. And let's be careful in this. We can be very religious, but we can miss the sign unless it's shown as Saul did. Now, if you read the Bible, you will see if we're on the line to truth, he'd miss the one thing to salvation, the one thing that God was going to teach him and presently reveal to him with a voice who said, "Who art thou, Lord?" I can almost feel and see the stillness, the surprise that crept over Saul's heart. He'd never been here before. "Who art thou, Lord?" And then to hear the voice of his Saviour, personal Saviour, say, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." This is the point. Now, this is one reason why he would never again be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," not ashamed of it. Before, he was proud of himself and ashamed of any that went that way. You read in the Acts of the Apostles and you see how very real this was. It's not merely history, it's living history. And it's living today. It concerns you and I here today. Now, are we ashamed? I'll come closer to this presently, and I want to before we finish. Are you ashamed? It's hard sometimes. You say, "What if they scoff? See? What if I lose something?" Ashamed? What about when it comes to the crossroads in your life? Now, remember what I was saying this morning. It's all very well to have a religion for the Sabbath, but don't let it come into the week. Don't let it come into your business. Don't let it come and upset your plans. Don't let it come and disturb you, because this may be your rest. See? Think. What are you going to do? Say, "I'm ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Well, there's only two ways. There's the way of salvation, and there's the way of condemnation and damnation. There's only two ways and there's no way in between. And don't think you're going to sit on the fence. And this applies to me too. We're either ashamed or we're not. Now, where do we stand? If one were to really come in sincerity and truth and ask you what you believe and what you love and what you trust in and what you know, what would you say? See? Where would you point? Would you point, as you might say, to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you point to election? Would you point to free and sovereign grace? Would you do this even if you suffered for it? Because he suffered. Or would you say, "I'm ashamed"? Now, I've got another case I want to get presently, but there's these things in general. Well, I don't want to deceive others, I don't want to be deceived myself, but I do believe that there are times in a child of God's life when they would hold him high, and if possible, hold him for all the world to see, because they love him so much. He means so much to them. I realize that what I'm preaching is not that which is born of the flesh. This is what is born of the Spirit. Now I think back in my life, there was a time when I could have preached him to the whole world if they'd have listened. But he hadn't called me to preach then, make no mistake. He hadn't called me. And this is something in passing we'll touch on. You might feel the love of Christ shed abroad in your soul, and you might want to preach him from the rooftop. But that does not mean to say that he sent you to preach. We've got to watch this very carefully. Because I know when the movement of love to the Lord Jesus Christ is in the heart, you want to tell the whole world. Because this salvation, you're not ashamed of it. It's come to you. And if this has come to you, Christ is yours. And you're his. Now, there can be a time in the lives of some men, I don't know why I'm on this, when they say, I want to go and preach him. But there's nothing wrong in that, how you feel. But if he's not commanded it, this is the point, if he's not commanded it, you could well be wrong. And I want to be careful. I verily believe. I see a little danger in this in one sense. When you want to tell the whole world of the Savior you found, that if you go and not being commanded, you go before him. You don't follow on. Oh, but you say Saul was sent. He was chosen for that very purpose. That's a different matter. It was revealed to him as to why he went through this. He was going to preach that gospel and that Christ that so dealt with him, and he was chosen to be that witness to go and tell others. And the purpose of God was in this. That's different. You might say, well, what are you trying to preach? I'll show you presently. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'll put it in that way. Steps. And they're one at a time. If you try and take a dozen steps at once, you fall over. Naturally. See? You've got to take these one at a time. And you've got to be led in them one at a time. Whether it's relative to going into the ministry, or whether it is relative to going to the ordinance of baptism. One at the time. Now, am I preaching according to the word of God? Now, let's have a look at the dealing of Saul. I needn't read it, I know it a little bit. The Lord met with him in the way, and he didn't know who he was. The Lord knew who Saul was, we know that. But Saul didn't know who he was. Hence, who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. What wilt thou have me to do? Saul, that is. See? He's not taking a dozen footsteps at once. You say yes, but the Lord's only just been revealed to him. This is the point. The Lord stops him and puts him in that right place, and he asks the right question. What wilt thou have me to do? See? Now, you and I come here sometime. What wilt thou have me to do? Now he said, go thou into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. You see, I can see this as part of the footsteps. Right, go into the city. Now you might say, what's the city? Well, when I was in this, the city was God's house. To me, it wasn't London, it wasn't Birmingham, it was God's house. That was the city, to me. That was my city. This was where my instruction was going to come from. This is where the word was going to come from. The message, you see, step at a time. So first thing, go thou into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. Told thee. By who? God. What about his servants? Through his servants. You see what I'm getting at? So an unbeliever in Jesus Christ, a believer in a religion without Christ, is stopped. Christ is revealed to him. He's given his marching orders to go and be told what will follow on, what he should do. So you see, it's a step at a time. And he goes on his way. And there's other things that were in this, but I'm not touching on them at the moment. And this is some of the first steps. And they go, and they got, they're all ears to hear what the instructions will be. Now, are you in this? This could have been years in your life, the stopping in a false religion, the revealing the first time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who art thou, Lord? The leading to God's house. Your ears are unstopped to hear a voice from the Lord through the ministry, voice of instruction, told where to go next. This is the pathway of Saul, Paul, and every child of God in measure, and I'm not watering it down. And I'll ask you this before we go any further. Are you ashamed of this way? Weigh it up in your own breast. Are you ashamed of it? Because if you're ashamed of this, I tell you straight, you are ashamed of Christ, because you can't separate the two. Ashamed of Christ. Now you may say, I would never be ashamed of him. Well, you've got to be very careful. You might at times hide him. You might at times, and remember this, Peter, deny you ever knew him, in case you lose your own skin. Eh? Well, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and he meant it, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and it cost him imprisonment, it cost him stripes, beatings, it cost him suffering. But you might say, well, we reap what we sow. And God, we know, can be very, very severe in this. But he still loved Paul. He loved him in prison. He loved him when he received these stripes. He loved him in that persecution. He still loved him. He loved him. And why did he love him? Because he was following in measure in the footsteps of the one who called him by grace. They called him by grace. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You might say, well, can we come in here and just give a little? Some might say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. See? And go as far as that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and as many like this can go just so far, but I'm going to hold way. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the aim and object of all, of the whole centre of our religion, Christ. There can be gospels and gospels. Oh yes, let's be careful. I want to separate gospels and gospels. But a gospel without Christ is like a religion without God. Isn't it? This is the point. Or a body without life. This is again the whole point of this. Some may say, well, I like the gospel. And you can get places, gospel halls and gospel this and gospel that. Yes, gospel that. But don't leave out the gospel of Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There can be a gospel of man under the so-called name of Christ. And man will have the praise, and man will have the honour, and man will have the glory. This is it. It goes under the heading of the gospel of Christ. Now that is only a deception. This is the thing with this, only deception. Now that God, and understand me right, he went the whole way through with Saul of Tarsus, all through this. And he does with every child of God. And he'll take you all through. And he will see you all through. However many years it takes, however many pains it takes, he will go all through this with you, like he did with Saul. Now, I'll leave that at the moment and say, well, what is the gospel of Christ? It's not only to be preached, and it's good to have it preached in truth, but it's also to walk it out. Now, Paul, he didn't preach what he hadn't walked out, did he? And here again we can see the difference in the footsteps. He preached what he walked out. He preached what he'd seen of the power. He preached what he'd gone through of the suffering. He preached, and almost, as you might say, was prayed of his imprisonment and prayed of his stripes. And did it give Paul any honour and glory? Well, let's think about Paul. I am the least of all the apostles. He wasn't really, he didn't really consider he deserved the name of an apostle. And he found the law of God. And he found that what he should do, he did not. And what he did, he should not, and so on. I find then the law, and this killed him. So he was not ashamed of Christ, but he's ashamed of self, ashamed of himself. So I want to come in again as it applies to us. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now this is a very different thing, because this goes a whole way with this. All that Christ commands, all that Christ says in following in the footsteps, that he orders, not that you might, that he orders one at a time. If at that time when I hoped the love of God was shed abroad in my heart, I'd gone and preached the gospel, I'd have gone without being commanded to go. I'll be honest about this. But the point is, it's the Lord that says go, it's God that says go, and it's God that says stop. And it's God that says thus far and no farther. And if we rightly follow, we shall only go as he leads. You see? But I did not, and I thank God for it, run without being sent. Now, I'm not getting it at anybody. I'm just trying to set forth the truth. Now, the time comes when, go thou into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. You see, a child of God is like this. You'll be told the next step to take. See? The minister might know nothing about what's in your heart. He may know nothing about what's going on in your mind. And there's no need to tell him. Because God knows. And if you're one of God's children, and the minister is one of God's servants, God will deal with both. Now, can you see where I am, where I'm getting at? So here's a child of God, being called by grace, being led on, taken into God's house in the city, and they wait for instruction from God as to the pathway to take. Now, are you ashamed of it? At this moment, a blind man may be ashamed of his blindness in one way. He has to be led. Is a child of God ashamed of their blindness? Well, let's be careful. They know, not in a way they say I'm blind, but I have to be led. There's nothing to be ashamed of if you're led by Christ. You see, you're relying on the Lord. You're waiting for him to put his hand and lead you. You're waiting for a word to follow in his footsteps. So you're not ashamed of your blindness. You'll admit it. I'm blind. You say, and I can't see without thy light. And you may be in this place to die. And you may say, and it's right place, the right place to be, I cannot move until thou bid. Now there's nothing to be ashamed of. Because that is the gospel of Christ in this respect. The Lord leads, and his children follow on. The Lord calls, and his children come. The Lord commands, and his children go. And that is obedience, isn't it? You see where we are? And are you ashamed of this? Now you see, the Lord will not allow his children to be independent of him. There are some who would, even his own children would be independent and wander about and take all kinds of wrong footsteps. Yes, but he might bring them back. And it can be a very hard lesson to come back after having gone into certain things and gone a certain distance. A hard lesson to come back. So we've got to be careful. We can see some of these things around us. Going so far and then coming back. Going into something for so many years and all come to pieces. Going somewhere and it all comes undone. And coming back, and it can be several years. And oh, how hard it is. And these should be lessons to us to walk carefully and fearfully and watchfully and to watch the Lord's hand and to look from him and to wait for a word. Now, just sum up some of this. Go there into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. Now, I'll be quite frank with this, and this might help some of you to revive a little in this. It was with me. I couldn't go to the Lord's tent. It doesn't mean to say you don't want to go. Wanting to go may be very different than being commanded to go. And you'll often find this, that when one is commanded to go, they might very well feel like keeping back. Our time is always ready. We're always ready. But God's time is different. Well, are you ashamed of this? You're not. Because if you weigh the truth of this up, you'll see one thing. You are dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot move without his light. You cannot move without his word. You dare not go till he says go. See? And this is how it should be. So his children are dependent upon him, and his children wait on him. And they watch him. Do you believe this? I do. Oh, you say, I love the Lord. Now, so did Peter. Peter was ready to fight for his Lord and Master, but that wasn't the right time yet. Peter was so full of love to his Lord and Master, and doubtless he had much false zeal that got to come out. And if Peter had cut off that man's ear and got away with it and cut off the head, he thought he'd give himself a medal. But the Lord said, no. Don't fight with a sword. See? They that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And some put a different interpretation on that, but I'll leave that. No. But you've got to watch with this. You've got to be here to watch me go through. There'll be no fighting with the sword. If it were God's will, there would be a host of angels sent to deliver. But I've got to go through this. And you will follow afterward in measure. And I go through first. Don't fight. I go willingly. I lay down my life for my friends. See? But Peter couldn't understand that. Oh, he didn't want anybody to hurt his Lord Jesus Christ. But you see where poor Peter was presently. Was he ashamed of Christ? Ask Peter, there's the gospel. I often am in Peter's case. Ask Peter, are you ashamed of him? No, he says. I don't even know him. I can't be ashamed of him, I don't even know him. I don't profess his name. It's in the gospel, you read it. You see, like I say, there goes one of Christ's followers. You go and get to him. I know not the man. Don't get near me, don't know him. Oh, and this was the same Peter, and the same Saul, and same Paul, different names. Peter had the same name. So we got to be very careful. But after God had finished, this is the point, finish with him. That part of the work, after he brought him through these footsteps, part of the pathway, and the Lord turned and looked upon him. Ashamed of him then? Was Peter ashamed of Christ then? Think about it, ashamed of Christ. Oh, I think if we could have reached poor Peter then and spoken to him, and I sometimes think of these things, I wonder what Peter would have said. Are you ashamed of Christ? Oh, I don't think he'd have answered a word. He'd have hung his head in shame, self-abhorrence, and could have almost, as you say, done away with himself in one sense for what he felt. And this is the point, though. Was the Lord ashamed of him? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Well, supposing we could say, I'll say it reverently to the Lord Jesus Christ, are you ashamed of Peter? That's turned it round, hasn't it? Are you ashamed of Peter? Are you ashamed of the one preaching? Are you ashamed of those who are listening? Are you ashamed of them? Well, he may be. Well, he may be. But, oh, look what he did for them. Ashamed of them? I hate their sins. God hates sin. Don't make any mistake. But this is the mystery. He loves sinners. Saved by free and sovereign grace, he loves sinners. Does he love their sin? Now, just a minute. You've got your children. You love the children, but you don't love all their ways, do you? I've got children and grandchildren, and I hope in measure I love them, but some of their ways I hate. I'll be honest. I hate it. I hate some of their ways, and I hate some of mine. And God hates sin, but I love my children and grandchildren. So is Christ ashamed of us? Think. Oh no, he gave his life. See? Not ashamed of them. I hate their sin, but I save them. It's their sins that have brought me to this. But did he shrink? He went through with it in Gethsemane all the way through. He was not ashamed. It was their sins that brought him there. Now, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. A few minutes, I must leave this. There's something else I must bring in. I'll get no peace unless I do. I ask you, and this could be collectively, but this is singularly. This is one person, and that person knows who it is. I ask you, are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? I'd take it a step at a time. You say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to ask you the last word first. Are you ashamed of Christ? Are you ashamed of Jesus? I know there's one here. Now, what are you going to answer? You don't come and tell me. You answer before the Lord. Now, what can you say? As I quote this word of God, are you going to say, I'm ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are you going to say, I'm afraid of the gospel of Christ? You say, no, I'm afraid of being presumptuous. What has he done for you? What has he shown you? Has he called you by his grace? Has he forgiven your sins? Has he led you along thus far? And are you going to die and not take his name on your dear lips in confession that he's your Saviour? And aren't you going to go and tell those sinners around what a dear Saviour you found? Or are you going to hide him forever? Amen.